Allahu Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum. That is peace be upon you. Dear believers, distinguished and honorable persons in attendance, respectable gathering, the praise is for Allah, and Muslims always begin with the name of Allah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and praise Allah with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The praise is for Allah, Lord of all the worlds. The praise is for Allah, Lord of the universe, Lord of the worlds. The praise is for the one that brings about life and death. By his control comes all goodness, and he is capable of handling all things. The living, the eternal. Time does not affect him, and he is not taken by sleep. The one who lives and does not die. Allah says in the chapter titled Ikhlas, Al-Ikhlas, the purity is translated and the unity is also translated. Say, he is Allah alone. All is depending on him, and he is depending on none. Never did he father a child, and never did someone father him. And never was there an equal for him. Allah Most High, glorified is he, over and above what they define and attribute to him. And the peace be upon the messengers, and the praise is for Allah, Lord of all the worlds. He it is that has sent his messenger, Muhammad that is, with the guidance and with the religion, qualified upon truth, qualified upon the truth, that he causes it to be prevalent over all religion. I witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and I witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. The prayers be upon him and the salutation of peace. Dear believers, respectable gathering, this address is an expression of a serious desire for building our Muslim American life and preparing for our future here as Americans, so that our life and our aims be seen clearly as honorable. Our efforts behind this interest is our best force for both a reaffirmation of Muslim commitment and an honest demonstration of Muslim aims. Moreover, the honest work of building our Muslim life and answering the demands of the future on Muslim life is our best force for checking false charges and for disarming propaganda-serving misconceptions. Dear believers, respectable gathering, it would seem that a religion which has as its calling liberation by truth, and brevity, meaning a few words to say what has to be said, and clarity, clear expression. Such a religion would not have to be cleared of gross, it would seem that such a religion would not have to be cleared of gross misconceptions and flagrant, wild falsehoods against that religion. an explanation to turn to, we would think, would be lost history. Maybe the history of the Muslims, the history of our religion has been lost, that we are seeing so much misconception and so much confusion about the identity of Muslims. Maybe revisions and alterations on the sacred book of the Muslims, the Quran. However, we know as Muslims that neither is true for us. The history has been kept intact and is known not only to the Muslims but also to Western historians. Arnold Toynbee, one of the greatest of the Western historians, did not present any misconceptions but respected the truth of our religion. And there have been other great historians of the West that have also respected their obligation as professionals, as scholars, historians, to present the truth. But for the majority, they have not done that. They have served the wrong purpose. To begin a truthful explanation for the special attention trained on our religion by notorious distorters of history, we need to take note of a peculiar social and emotional immaturity that humans are exposed to, both the lay people and the professionals. Big media bosses, they have this same vulnerability. It is not always the thought of the reporter. It is the policy of the paper or the policy of the media. And that policy is established by the owners of the papers, by the owners of the networks, by the big media bosses. I'm not saying that some writers, some reporters are innocent, or all of them are innocent. No, that would be far from the truth. Many of these reporters are dissatisfied because they have bosses over them that will allow them to go to the extent that they want to go in discrediting and lying about the identity of Muslim and Muslim life. Some egos are too unnaturally constituted for the strength to acknowledge equal or superior merits of foreigners. Many Americans have been led to believe our religion of Islam, popularly called, quote, Islam, was forced on the people of Arabia, Africa, Asia, even Spain. The truth is that the religion presented by the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad, the peace and the blessings be on him, brought about the end of the Dark Ages, not only for the Muslims, but for the West, and returned science and general enlightenment to the communities, to the civilized communities of this earth. It is understandable that such a march for the enlightened life would be fiercely opposed by the Jahiliyyah, by dark age dwellers who loved confusion, who loved corruption, who loved violence with a passion. That being the situation, if we accept that description of that time in that situation, al-Islam was the knight lit in brilliant armor that braved the darkness of the age with the torch in hand, the torch of enlightenment, the torch of true liberation. That torch of enlightenment was picked up behind us, that is the Muslim, behind the Muslims, by students of research from Europe and other parts of the Western world. These students gave themselves to scientific disciplines and made possible the return of civilization to the West and eventually to the United States, or to America, and the United States of America. We know that time as the Renaissance, the Renaissance. the Protestant movement and also the movement of common sense and appreciation for nature and sciences that are founded upon the observation of nature. All of that happened because of an earlier renaissance or renaissance in the peninsula now called Arabia, made possible by the revelation we call Quran, the last revealed book from Allah, and the leadership, the impeccable leadership of our Prophet, the model for all of us, Muhammad, peace and the blessings be on him. Returning to a desire for emphasis on honest efforts and honorable aims as our best force for combating false charges and unfair typecasting of Muslims. Our concentration now is on establishing behavior to support the honorable claims of Muslim life. That is, our concentration now serves to promote, or we hope our concentration, that is our emphasis, now serve to promote the native and traditional excellence of Muslim life. Further, this concentration, or this emphasis, elects to the forefront the best behaving and the best qualified. That is what we are working for now. As this effort prospers, our desire desired demonstration and model of native and traditional Muslim excellence will be established in America for the life and for the future of Muslims. It is deeply regretted that our own behavior, misguided and sometimes criminal, reinforces and adds to the growth of lies against Muslims. I will begin to identify this misconception, these misconceptions, flagrant misconceptions about Islam, by first saying that I have read books by so-called scholars, by so-called Muslim wise men, not only non-Muslim, but also Muslim, so-called Muslim wise men, presenting Allah in a totally un-Islamic way. Muslims don't believe that creation is God, ever was God, ever can be God. And we believe that all is creation except Allah. For Allah says that He is the creator, al-khaliqu kulli shay, that He is the creator of everything in existence. That includes even that we perhaps cannot quite understand as scientists of religion and scholars of religion, or as mystics, that even includes the presence of angels. The angels are not their own creation, but the creation of Allah. They have no eternity. They are the creation of Allah. They did not exist until Allah willed that creation be. The angels themselves did not exist until Allah willed that creation be. This is the truth about our religion. Truth that many of our so-called leaders and mystics that we worship need to know, need to hear and accept. And it's not coming from me. It's coming from the pure and easily understood teachings of Quran, our sacred book, and the teachings of our Prophet Muhammad. Now, such a religion is expected to be opposed, as we have said, by dark age dwellers with passion for wrongdoing. We are told in our holy book, it is put in the mouth of our prophet, for after all, no word of the holy book came to us first. It came to us. Allah intended it for us, and he revealed it for us, but he chose one qualified to receive that high place, that high office, and that was Muhammad the Prophet. These words were given to him first, as Allah says, and that he revealed it, or he sent it down upon his heart, meaning that his heart qualified him for it. And they persecute the believers because they say our Lord is Allah. Now, why were the Muslims persecuted? From the time that Prophet Muhammad declared openly the simple faith or the simple statement, God is one God, Muhammad is his messenger. From that time, the persecution began. And why the persecution? Allah tells us why the persecution. Because they say our Lord is Allah. Now we have to understand then, why should people become so alarmed? Because we say our Lord is Allah. Is Allah a despot, a despotic ruler? No, he cannot be creation. That they should fear, oh, they are giving divinity to this tyrant, giving divinity to this despotic ruler. That we could understand the alarm if they thought that Prophet Muhammad was presenting something as divine, that was a tyrant, or a troublemaker, or had evil designs on the world. But Prophet Muhammad presented the Lord Creator that was responsible for them as well as for him. Responsible for the believers as well as non-believers. Responsible for their life. Responsible for their excellence if they had it. Responsible for their good morality if they had any. Responsible for everything, their intelligence. He was talking about the God of everybody. So why would they become so threatened? Because people say they believe in that God. Simply because once you truly and consciously believe in that God, you cannot accept oppression, servitude, abuses, disrespect, indignity, humiliation, vexation. You cannot accept such anymore. So when you declare a belief in their God, you disturb those who want you as their property or as their slaves or under their dictate. You disturb them greatly because they know once you consciously accept that, they cannot make you their slave anymore. They cannot subject you to humiliation continuously anymore. You're going to struggle with all the forces that God has given you to liberate yourself and others suffering their persecution or their oppression. Simply because they say, our Lord, Rabbun Allah, our Lord is Allah. We know there are other explanations, but Allah gives us the main explanation, the best and the main explanation. That is the main explanation. Everything connected to that, certainly, they don't like that either. Should they fear the religion? That the religion is inviting criminals to join a brotherhood? If that was the case, certainly they should fear. There should be reason to oppress, to hold back, to hold down, to suppress and oppress. There would be justifications for it. If this was a call to criminals, if this call didn't discriminate in its calling, and invited all kind of trash and all kind of worthless people and the worst and the criminal other people, you should just certainly They should have been alarmed in that time, and if that is happening today, we should be alarmed today. But that was not the case. Let me go to the Quran. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ This is a book in which there is no defect, no doubt. هُدًى Guidance, lil for muttaqin. It is guidance for regardful people. And this time, direct us first to Allah Himself. We must be regardful of Allah, the Lord Creator for everybody. It is hudan lil muttaqin. It is guidance. Why has God given this Quran? Why have He given this Quran, this revelation, so that it be guidance for certain type of people? Not a guidance for criminals. It's no guidance for criminals. There's no guidance for the cheaters who cheat man. No, it is a guidance for the muttaqeen, those that have a deep-seated respect and regard for those things that have over the long period of man's struggle for uprightness and civilization and excellence have been established as being worthy of his regard, of his deep-seated regard. They are the muttaqeen. This is guidance for the muttaqeen. You know, if people are going to be alarmed by a movement or by an effort to form and organize a society, there should be justifications for their alarm. And if we can establish justification for their alarm, except that they themselves were bent upon being criminals, bent upon being tyrants, despots, and oppressors, then we must then, if we are on the side of the decent members of the humanity, we must then join with the Muslims. We must then take the side of the Muslims and say the Muslims are decent people. They must not be persecuted. They must not be lied about. And though I be a Christian or a Jew or a Buddhist or whatever, I am obligated as a decent believer in God or myself to stand on the side of the Muslims against the lies told against them. Another charge is that this religion was established by force. That the followers of Muhammad and his followers, used armies with swords, spears, and arrows. And if the people did not accept the religion, they were executed. You know, history can mean one or the other thing. I was watching an educational program on television, and they were bringing out the point that the Indians, the native Indians of this continent, have been mispresented in history. That most of the history on them carries serious misguidance, even laughable things. They're so ridiculous. So ridiculous and laughable. That's what I witnessed while watching an educational program on some television not so long ago. So now we want to look at this charge that began after the Crusades had been conducted for some time. The propaganda was then used against Muslims that Muslims forced people to accept the religion. The religion is established by force. We know that there exists today Arabia. It is Muslim today as the Prophet left it. He left it Muslim, it's Muslim still. Arabia. We know that this religion had also been introduced into Africa during the time of the Prophet. Muslim then, the Muslims now, many more now than there were then. We know also that this religion was introduced into Persia, now Iran, and it was introduced into even parts of Europe during the time of our prophet. The message was sent there, converts were made even there. And we know that it exists there today. We know as a consequence of that, we have millions and billions in Asia, in Africa. Now Europe is growing in Islam, in Muslim population, and also America. Not to mention the Isles of the Pacific, Trinidad, the Mediterranean, Caribbean area, and other places. This religion is spread over the earth today. It is a religion having about 1 billion members or adherents. 1 billion. That's about one-fifth or more of the population of this earth. If the religion was spread by force, how come now, since the people have their independence, they don't throw it off? If it was forced on them, how come they don't throw it off today? There's nobody forcing it on them now. In fact, it's just the other case. It's the other case, the other way around. These weak so-called Islamic leaders over Islamic nations are persecuting Muslims for trying to be upright and true to their faith. Yes. We have many Islamic, so-called Islamic people, Muslims, over Muslim nations. Now, it has been the case since the corruption by the colonial dominators. That has been the case. They left their tricks there. They left their influences there. They left their influences for imperialism. They left their influences for aristocracy. They left their influence for arrogance. They left their influence for show business. They left their influence, and our people still suffer that influence. And many of them now in Muslim lands don't want the Muslims to really live up to the excellence and strength of their own religion. So why, under this new condition, why is are we still seeing the phenomenal growth of the population of Muslims on this earth? That would tell us by itself that that is a lie. Nobody has been forced to accept this religion.
That's right.
Unless you've done it in the dark, in the private quarters of your own home, or somewhere. It is not publicly known. We don't know of it. And we would correct you if we knew that you were doing such behind doors. Now let's go to the Holy Book itself. What does the Holy Book say? Allah's word. For man shah. فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whoever wills of himself to accept the faith, let him. Whoever wills of himself to reject it, let him. I just quoted the Holy Book. Now look how the words are. You know, I tend to want to show off, you know, sometimes. And I have to restrain myself, you know. I say, oh, sir, so who's coming? Who's going to be there at that meeting? Is that true? Senators, and the mayor may send someone down? So I have to strain to try to present myself and pretend to be so scholarly, and. So sometimes I have to look at myself and kind of correct my own self, you know, kind of make some changes on my own self so I don't get false. Don't become false. So, you know, if we were to reply or to address that particular need for people to make choices, independent choices, free choices, intelligent people should be free to make independent and free choices. Nothing is supposed to be forced on them. And they suffer the consequences of their ignorance, of their moral weakness, of their ignorance, of their bad intention. That's up to them. Leave it. You don't have to do anything. Leave it. They will suffer the consequences of that. Now, if they go and reject it and then organize and form an army and say, we're going to deny that freedom to others, then the prophet is right to take up arms. And Allah says, and fight them until there's no more persecution. This is a justification for Muslims fighting, going to war. Fight them until there's no more persecution. How come these students, these Western students, these Orientalists,
who want to study our religion and present it to the world from themselves instead of from Muhammad, the prophet, or instead of from Muslims, upright Muslims. How come they don't read that in the Quran where Allah says, and fight them? This is the war that Muhammad had to be engaged for so many, for so long. And fight them until there is no more persecution. And the religion is holy for Allah. And religion is holy for Allah. What does that tell us? It tells us, firstly, that Prophet Muhammad was not the aggressor. He was the one being aggressed upon. He and his followers were the ones being aggressed upon. They were defending their right to live on this earth as Muslims. They were not initiating any wars. They were responding to attacks and wars initiated by others. That's what it tells us. And fight them until there is no more persecution. And what does the other part of the statement tells us? Until religion is holy for Allah. That tells us that Prophet Muhammad was dealing with a situation where there were criminals, bad people, tyrants and despots claiming to believe in God, claiming religion, but their religion was their own invention. They had falsely put God's name to their religions, and their religion was formed mainly as the vine shrouded, instrument for the persecution, for the denial of rights and freedom and justice and equality to the people of this earth, or to the people of their particular locality. Yes, their intention was bad. They were claiming religion, but their religion was their instrument for holding people down, for denying people respect that Allah intended for them. So the prophet rose up against that, and he fought that kind of religion. And again, what are we told in the Holy Book? Persecution is worse than slaughter. Persecution is worse than slaughter. So Prophet Muhammad would defend the right of Muslims to live and not be persecuted. And he would go to the extent of killing a person, if he had to defend that right. And Allah came and said, say, persecution is worse than slaughter. To torment me and deny me my freedom that Allah intended for me. To torment me and vex me continuously. To subject me to long periods of humiliation, torment, aggravation is worse than outright killing me. I wish I was back there. I would have joined the army. I would have been one of the brave soldiers. And I would have killed without hesitation. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ And whoever believes, whoever has a will of himself to believe, let him believe. And whoever has a will of himself to reject it, let him reject. And what does that another verse say? قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ Addressing the rejectors. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ Say, O you rejectors of faith. لا أعبد ما تعبدون. I don't worship what you worship. لا أعبد ما تعبدون. ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد. And you have no intention. You have no desire. You are not inclined. You are not practicing. You are not going to practice what I believe. لا أعبدون ما أعبد. ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد. ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم. And I have no desire, no intention to practice what you believe. So lakum dinukum. For you and your religion is your faith. Leave your deen, for me is mine. Now I'm quoting the purest and most authentic of the sources of our religion. Who can argue with that? Except the fool. Praise be to Allah. Now there's another charge that Muslims are given to be drunken, spiritually drunken zealots. religious fanatics. They don't follow reason. They follow blind spirit. And that gives them to fanaticism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Our religion points to Prophet Ibrahim, the one who in previous, peace be upon the Prophet, the one who in previous scriptures had been established for the religious communities of the book, of the revealed book, before. As they call him, Father, Father of the nations. Prophet Ibrahim, called Abraham in English, by the English people. Abraham by the Jews, Abraham by the Christian West, and Ibrahim by Muslims. Yes. So, the same person, no difference, same person. Just slightly different, different pronunciation of the name. Ibrahim, and perhaps slightly different hints to help us understand this great figure, Ibrahim. Peace be upon him. It is established in our holy book, the Quran, that the order established by our Prophet Muhammad is after the order established by Prophet Ibrahim, or Abraham. We understand the expression, Father of the nation, to be leader. Because Allah says that He will make him, Allah promised him, Abraham, and He would make him a leader, He made him a leader for all people. For all people. Now here's a leader, a figure, a prophetic figure, Ibrahim, that Allah gives us and says that He made him a leader for all people. Now, were there any prophets that weren't leaders for all people? Yes! Yes! They weren't typical of the leader that can appeal to the universal body of man. How come? They addressed the local conditions. They addressed the local problems. They addressed the local needs. They addressed the local people. Now, when you bring that address before the whole of humanity to the United Nations, a lot of people are going to go to sleep. Because you're missing so many of them in your address. Your emphasis is on a small number of the humanity. And you're addressing them by their identity. Huh? Oh, my people. Prophet Abraham, I never heard him say, oh, my people. Prophet Muhammad, in the Quran, he never told, there's nothing in the Quran addressing the people who are to get here, whose ears are to hear, as old blacks, old browns, old whites, old Ethiopians, old Arabs. That language is not in our holy book. So by the language itself, we can see he is a man, a prophet like Abraham, Ibrahim, a prophet like Ibrahim. He's not addressing race. He's not addressing class. He's not addressing tribe. He's not addressing Israel. Abraham never addressed all Israel. Muhammad the prophet was not to say, oh, Israel, come to the faith. Allah miss you. No, the prophet says, all believers, all humanity, all mankind, all people of sense, all men of logic. That is a reflection of the several ways that the man is addressed in our holy book. Such a religion can't be charged of bypassing man's rational faculties, man's intelligent senses, his mind, to get to his heart under the cover of darkness and turning him on to something, to a life, and making him a fanatic. Our religion cannot be charged with that. To charge it with that is to show us that you are either totally ignorant of our religion or you have bad intentions. You yourself must be most likely the criminal.
Yes, the expression in the Quran that God said, Inni ja'iluka, of Ibrahim the prophet, Inni ja'iluka linnasi imama. Surely I'm going to make you a leader for the humanity. Not for any tribe, not for any race, or any special nationality, but for all people, for the humanity. And again I say that our prophet's way, his role, is after that of Abraham, or Ibrahim, the prophet, peace be upon them. Today, the propaganda against our religion is much more sophisticated. It is much more subtle, much more difficult to just readily identify. But there is a design by those who have been in the situation, in the favored situation, to give the world news from all over the world. Nobody has power to present to the world what is happening around the world more so than the West. And the West has had that favored situation for a long time now. So whatever we are believing all around the world, the Western machinery is responsible for it. And the most are, if not totally, responsible for it. In the greatest degree, if not totally. They are responsible for it. Now, I'm not excusing our conduct, because in the beginning of this address, I mentioned our own conduct as the first problem for us to look at. We don't want our own behavior to give them basis for these false accusations. But at the same time, we must recognize that the big and powerful media of the West and the great tools that they have for presenting information to the people of the whole world cannot be overlooked and cannot be pushed aside as a thing minor in its consequences, or less in its consequences than something else. No! It is the biggest problem. It is the biggest problem. Bad elements, insincere people, behind the media and in the media, they are the main ones responsible for lies told not only against Muslims and our religion, against Allah and against our prophet, not only against our book, but against you. Against you, against you African-American people, against you. The lie and the bad image of us have been spread all over the world. First, by who? By the West and their media power. They spread a lie against us. They typecast us and wanted everybody to see that we are people, are lazy people, are shiftless people, are dull people, are people loving nothing but play and fun. Sex and play and fun, can't be responsible for anything, can't produce anything, we're not producers of anything except babies. We don't care for our women, we mistreat our women, we load them up with babies and walk off and leave them. To give the world a picture like that of us is a lie.
That's right.